Mabel Louise, good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning, and it's a beautiful day in Wisconsin. I hope it is where you live. Don't you enjoy these summer days? Oh, the Lord's been so good to us to give us a nice rain and then the sunshine, and everything is so plush everywhere you look. So thank you for tuning me in. I so appreciate every one of you. Well, my verse for the day is John 1:12. I bet you know that. If you read the Bible often, you probably have memorized this one. But as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Yes, I emphasize that little word, believe. Because today I'm going to be talking to you from the title of my message, which is, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? On my last broadcast, I visited with you on the subject of who is Jesus. I gave you lots of scripture. And it was interesting that Jesus asked the disciples over in Matthew chapter 16. This is what he asked. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the disciples answered, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then Jesus questioned the disciples and asked, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter spoke up. How like him. He's always the spokesman for the disciples. Sometimes, yes, like all of us, he has hoof and mouth disease, and he speaks up too loud. But this time he was on target, because he said in answer to Jesus' question, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if somebody says to you, who is Jesus? Well, you can do the same as Peter and say, it is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered Peter by saying, you are blessed, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Many times through the years, I've asked individuals the question, do you believe in Jesus? And the response would be, what do you mean by the word believe? So after sharing with you who Jesus is, I felt it would be good to follow with this subject. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? A simple definition from the dictionary would be to take as truth or to have confidence in a statement or a promise or to have faith in a conviction, to accept as trustworthy. How about that? That's what Webster says. Well, number one, if you believe, you must realize that you are a sinner. That should not be hard if you're honest about yourself. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, because all are born in sin. So, if that's the statement, that would include you. And certainly me. A holy God cannot look upon sin, and that's why God sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, a man named Nicodemus approached Jesus, and he began to ask questions. And Jesus answered by saying that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, here's that word again, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then he went on to say, he that believeth on him, he's not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Therefore, we conclude by reading those verses that salvation by grace recognizes that man is a sinner and that he cannot save himself, but that salvation is a gift of God. Aren't you glad? Oh, my goodness. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, one of my favorite verses, tells us, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. His gift of salvation really declares sinners' righteousness, because Jesus gives us his righteousness. I love the story of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jailer. Have you read it lately? It's so beautiful. Paul and Silas were preaching in Macedonia, and they were put in jail and in stocks. They were there praying and singing and sharing the gospel, and all of a sudden, God sent an earthquake, and all the doors of the jail were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Let me read the rest of the story from Acts chapter 16. I have my Bible open in front of me, and I'm going to be reading from New International Translation. And here it goes. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Remember, I told you they were in stocks. That means they had their hands tied and their feet tied and stuck through holes so that they couldn't move. Ouch. Well, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that even the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors just flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And the jailer called for lights. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe," here's that word again, in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and even your own household. In other words, because of his conversion, all of his members of his home, his family, would be saved. Then they spoke the word of God to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come, and here's that word, to believe in God. Not only just the jailer, but his whole family. Isn't that a beautiful story? I just love it. And it's true that same way each one of us need to trust Jesus. And then the jailer called for the light, and then he and the family came to Jesus. And then believe is that word that all of us have to come to and realize. And that word means to trust or lean on or rely. And then Paul and Silas taught him the word of God, and he preached the sermon right there in the jail. I love the end of that story. The jailer, yes, he believed. And then guess what? He took his time to wash their stripes that had been, they remember I read they had been beaten before. No doubt blood was gushing out of those stripes. And then, on top of all of that, they were busy because he was baptized and he fixed a whole meal for them. And it says, the jailer rejoiced, believing in God with all the members of his family. Wow. Therefore, we can conclude that to believe is an act of the will. It's you saying yes to Jesus. The Bible repeatedly presents in both the Old and the New Testament the fact that God himself provides Christ as the one who would die on the cross for our sins. He was the Lamb of sacrifice, and he died in your place and mine. Yes, he bore our sins in his own body on the cross. So actually, when we believe, we are accepting as a fact, as truth, making a commitment of our own future to the promises of God to save us by simply believing in Christ. Simply stating, all you need to do is bow your head, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and ask him simply to save you. And guess what? Yes, yes, he will do it. Just like that Philippian jailer. Because he said, for whosoever shall call or ask the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you were sincere in your belief, you will have the confidence that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, and that he will do what he promises. He will do, and by placing your trust in him, you will enter into a personal, eternal relationship with the Son of God, and that really heaven will be your future home. So we can conclude that by believing, you have moved from an observer and from the facts to place your life in Jesus' hands. And I can guarantee you, you'll enjoy every minute of it. And you know why I can say that? Because at age 16, I did that very same thing as a Philippian jailer. So, as I go off the air, the question really is, how about you? Do you believe in Jesus? So, you see, believing is an act of your mind, your heart, and your will. Let me close my broadcast today with this illustration. Years ago, a teenager was listening to his father's preaching of sermon, where he was literally pleading for souls to come to Christ. When the service ended, his son went home and went to bed. But his father's words kept ringing in his ears. Have you ever believed in Christ? And this kept going over and over and over in his mind. Here he was the preacher's kid. Everybody thought he was already a Christian. But was he really? How could he know? Well, as he faced the question, he slipped out of his bed, got down on his knees, and prayed the simple prayer. He said, Lord, if I have never received you before, I receive you right now. Then he climbed back into bed and in a few moments was sound asleep. You see, he had really believed in Jesus Christ, and it was a clear act of his will. Many years later, that same teenager returned to serve as pastor in his own father's church, where in the years which followed, he led hundreds of others to receive Jesus as Savior. When that teenager, who is now a famous preacher in his own right, heard the possibility of Dallas Seminary being founded as a school for training preachers, he said to Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer, this seminary must be located in Dallas. The preacher was Dr. William Anderson. The year was 1923. Dallas Seminary became a reality in 1924 because a teenager was honest in facing that question, do I believe in Jesus? Well, as I go off the air, how about you? Do you believe in Jesus? If not, why not now? Bow your head right where you are and ask Jesus to come into your heart, because he's asking you the question I thought you would never ask. God bless you. Bye-bye.